blessed by the message or messages and everything. Can I see your hand? Wave them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, can I ask? You know, we tell our children, all liars will... Say it now. What do you tell your children when you don't want them to lie? Say, don't tell lies. So all liars will go to hell. You didn't finish it. The way I used to hear it, all liars will go to hell and perish. All liars will go to hell and perish. All right, my question. How many of you, after opened your Bible or opened your notes or you listened to that message again? If you are raising your hand, raise it up very well. Don't do half mass. Okay. How many of you, you did not? Can I see your hand? All liars shall go to hell. Lift up your hands. Lift it up. Not unto me, unto Jesus. Lift it up very high. Now wave it to Jesus again. And ask Jesus, say, Jesus, forgive me. All right. I titled today's message. I didn't know, you know, usually I don't give title. I just call my preach. The way it came to us, have two words. After or afterwards. Or what it means is subsequently. Afterwards. The truth is, when we come to church, when we gather together, we come to listen. We come to listen. If you remember, one of the things Senior Pastor said last Sunday is the fact that when you come to church, as much as possible, limit how your eyes roam about. But listen with your ears. Give attention. Listen and listen and listen very well. Listen and listen and listen very well. Because it is in your hearing. If there's any word under the Old Testament that God kept repeating and kept telling the children of Israel, you will find it. The summary is in Deuteronomy 28. Look at verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 1. It says, if you will diligently, now it shall come to pass. Now it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Comma, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Actually, in Hebrew language, it reads, if you will hear, diligently hear. I think one translation, if you give heed, that same word has to do with hearing. If you will hear, your deliverance has to do with what you hear. You are a product of what you hear and what you keep hearing. And it is what you hear that is the truth that can change your life. God said to them, it shall come to pass. That means if you don't hear, if you don't diligently give attention to what you are hearing, nothing is going to come to pass. It doesn't matter who is preaching the message. It doesn't matter who is preaching the message. It doesn't matter how anointed, how great the message is. If you don't do your part, that's why I said afterwards, subsequently, what's your part? What's your responsibility? If you want God's word to come to pass in your life, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. In James chapter 1, we have been looking at the book of James for some time, and this just fits in so well. Book of James, chapter 1. I read from verse 21. It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Verse 22 says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We are going to read this in Amplified. And it's very, very clear. Give it to us. Let's go back. Verse 23. In Amplified. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, read this. We say, but he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God in what he does, in his life of obedience. Can you see those words? Who looks carefully? Who looks carefully? Who does not forget? There's something about after you hear a message, whatever message, for you to sit down and consider what you have heard. So look at that word again and again. You thought you have heard. And that's the problem with us in the body of Christ. We have fantastic preachers. Wonderful men and women of God preaching the word of God. But are we having results? Are we having corresponding results in our lives? If you look at your life and you want to consider the messages you have been hearing, even in church in January, and you look at your life, where you are, and what you have heard, will you be able to say, I am seeing results? This is working in my life. If you will be able to say that, it will be because you give careful attention afterwards. Not just what we hear. If I ask some of us now, what did you hear last Sunday? That's when you say, I was blessed. I laughed. Well, maybe some of us will remember some of the jokes. But if I ask us now, what scriptures? Can you mention two or three scriptures that Reverend Bade quoted while he was ministering? I don't blame you. I'm also guilty of that sometimes. And here again, we are here Sunday. Next Sunday, we will dress up, we will come. We will not experience the blessing of God that way. There's no way. There's no way we're going to experience the blessing of that word that you are hearing. And remember, the word of God comes as a seed. And every seed that is planted, what are you after when you plant a seed? What are you after? Talk to me, somebody. You are after a harvest. So when God brings forth his word into our lives, sends his messenger, whether within the house or from outside, it's because he wants harvest in that area. But our harvest will not come by just hearing it once. Especially if that's an area of need in your life, if that is something that you are struggling with, and can I say, all of us, we struggle in the area of faith. All of us. If you tell me, I'm a man of faith, I'm going to ask you, where are the fruits? Where's the fruits? Where are the fruits in your life? If you're a man of faith, if you're a woman of faith, where are the fruits? Does it mean that the word of God does not have any power again? No. That's Capital? No. But that word will not be able to bring forth. And if there's any area in your life, listen and listen to me very well this morning. If there's any area of your life that you need to develop, apart from the commandment of love, the next thing is faith. What did I say? The next thing is what? The next thing is what? Because the Bible says your faith is your victory in every aspect of your life. If there's anything you need to work on and make sure that you understand. There was a time in my life, I think that must have been maybe 1990 or 1991. I picked up a book by Oral Roberts. It's called Principle of Seed and Harvest. How many of you have seen the book before? I picked up that book, I read it, I didn't understand it. And you know what? I just dropped it. And I mentioned to my husband, I said, I don't understand this book. My husband said, if you don't understand that book, I wonder how you can understand any other thing. Because it's a basic fundamental principle. And faith is fundamental to your Christian journey here and for eternity. It is because you believe in Jesus Christ that he died for your sin and he's taking you to heaven. That's why you are following him. But that faith needs to be developed for you to live here on earth. You have to take that faith to another level so that you can live successfully and enjoy what he has paid for. Are you following what I'm saying? The reason why you need to develop your faith is because, yes, you have given your life to Christ, but you are not dying tomorrow. You are not dying today. You are going to live for a long time. And there's no way you can live successfully here on earth without faith. Years ago, when I used to take pregnancy class, I usually tell them, this faith thing that we are teaching you, it goes beyond, hey, I'm pregnant. God help me to just deliver safe and sound. I say, it's something you need for life because you need faith to bring up your children. You need faith to bring up your children. And even when they are gone, you still need faith. You need faith for your finances. You need faith for your health. You need faith to live. If there's no, maybe if actually there's nowhere you go that you don't need faith. But it is raised to power what? To live in Nigeria. Somebody said if you can live, that actually when you are writing your CV, one of the things that you can write there, especially for international job, that I have lived in Nigeria for so years. Because if you can survive here, you will survive some other places. Hallelujah. But that survival is not just by your power, but by the faith of God. So you need faith, just like you need your breath. You need to be able to believe God, to see the word of God come to pass to your life. But that's being able to does not come by just hearing on Sunday alone, and you just neglect it. You don't give attention. You don't give attention. When you don't give attention, it cannot become part and parcel of your life. It cannot be. In the natural realm, there are some things that you have believed over the years, and you just walk in them. Hello. For instance, you have believed that your name is Dr. Andrew. Your name is Andrew. You have believed that. I mean, when I call Andrew now, you look at my face. You have come to believe that. That's become almost natural. Is somebody listening? Please let me tap your neighbor. Listen. Listen and listen very well. It is natural. When you get to the gate of your house, you have believed that this is your house and you have the key. What do you do? How many of you get to the gate of your house and you are wondering, is this my house? Is this my house? They will ask you, what's happening? You have come. Can you imagine believing God becoming that natural? Huh? Do you think it's impossible? No, it's not impossible. I heard about a man of God. Listen and listen. For people who walk with God, this man was in a house, was a guest speaker in a church. He was dressing up in the morning to go to for service, and his wristwatch dropped on the floor. When that wristwatch dropped on the floor, he picked it up, and by the time he looked at it, it has stopped working. It has stopped working. Then he took it and shook it and said, "No, Lord." And he looked at it again. He started walking. One small boy was peeping, the son of the guest minister. He looked at the man and said, "Ah, this was stopped working." He picked it up. He said, "No, Lord, it shouldn't be." And he started walking. And when he saw, he said, "Thank you, Lord." Someone said, "Show little your name. Do I have to? Is that, that's on level. When you look at yourself and say, no, 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 no. And that's all you need to say. No. That's all you need to say. And things are happening. And you look and say, yes, I permit that. You know, some of us, when we pray the prayer of losing and binding and losing, permitting the right word is to allow or to refuse. It's just as simple as that. You thought it was just, but that's some level of walking by faith. Because you believe what God has said. And you just say, no, I do not permit that. No, I refuse that. I refuse that. Now you go on again and say, every August, this happened to me. Every August, and you are confirming. You are confirming and confirming and confirming. Every August. And you are looking forward to. But you can look at that word, Matthew 18, and sit down with it and look at it. Jesus said, Jesus said, Jesus said. And begin to practice that. And before you know it, you begin to see things happen right before your face. But it does not come just like, oh, I've heard it once. Hallelujah. It's not just, I heard it once. Luke 11. Let's hear what Jesus Christ has to say. Talking about afterwards, after service, after listening to a message. Especially serious issues, like issue of faith. Luke 11, look at verse 27. Now it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which you nursed." But he said what? Blessed. More than that. You know, when we hear messages, we look, that man is anointed. Oh, what gracious words that came through his mouth. Blah, 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 blah. We pass our comments. This woman was so audacious. She was so blue. You know, it's a place, preach it, man. Preach it, preach it. But do you know the response of Jesus? Jesus Christ didn't say, "What? Thank you, madam. God bless you, madam. You have confirmed that I'm a servant of God." You know what he said? He said, "More than that. More than that. Blessed are those who do what? Who hear the word of God and keep it." They hear it, and what happens to them? They keep the word. And how do you keep the word? By going over it again and again, so the extent that you'll be able to practice it. The reason why a lot of us will have faith accidents, I will explain. What is a faith accident? You set out to do something. Oh, you heard, I can believe God for some. I can believe God for this. I can believe God. I will not. Like when I started hearing about believing God for healing, I just said, no, I will not have malaria. I refuse. The malaria will come. And I'll find myself in the sick bay. And devil will come and say, Shebi, you say you will not have malaria. What are you doing in the sick bay? I thought you were saying you will not have malaria. Now you have bad malaria and you have to take drug. I was doing that because I was just acting. That's fake accident because I did not hear the word enough to keep it. You are just tried. Like you hear somebody's testimony and we say, what God cannot do, if God can do that. But do you know what the person has done to have such testimony? Are you going to be able to do what the person has done? It's not just by testimony. That's one of the reasons why we limit testimonies in church. You won't find us. Every Sunday come and say, because people have a way of putting their eyes on testimonies. And for every testimony, there has been a process. If anyone will tell you the truth, there has been a process. There's for every testimony, there's been some time of test and trial that the person had to. I'm not talking of testimony that people come and just say, I just don't know how God did it. That's not the kind of testimony. You understand what I'm saying? I just don't know how, like the man that Jesus Christ healed in the book of John. They asked him, who healed you? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know. Then later he met Jesus Christ. He now realized who Jesus was. And later was able to talk about him. But you can't compare that man to the woman in Mark chapter 5 with the issue of blood. Is somebody listening to me? You can't compare that man. That man that was healed, who had palsy for several years, it was out of the sheer grace of God. Out of many people that were there, Jesus Christ went to him and knew that he had been there for a long time and said, carry your bed and go. If that man wants to testify, do you know how we testify? I don't know. Only I can't shanu mini. I just found mercy. But do you know, I don't know how many people were there that day. It could have been hundreds. The Bible says there were multitudes. So what happened to all of them that didn't get Jesus' attention that day? They will have continued. Some people will have died in the process. But when we're talking about testimonies, like the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, Bible says, give it to us. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. It says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Give attention to it. Before we go, wait. Let's read this thing in TPT, if you have it. In Passion Translation, this same verse. From verse 27, let's read the whole thing together. While he was saying all this, a woman shouted from the crowd, God bless the one who gave you birth and nursed you as a child. 28, yes, said Jesus, but God will bless all who listen to the word of God and carefully obey everything they hear. God will do what? Can we read together? God will bless all who listen to the word of God and carefully obey everything they hear. But there's no way you can carefully obey if you don't go back afterwards to look at it, to search, to consider. It is in the process of searching, of thinking. You know, Pastor Bade mentioned something about meditation. How many of you remember? What is meditation? To think about it, to roll it over, to consider it, to look at it again and again, again and again, again and again. Mark chapter 5. Let's take a look at that woman. Let's learn from that woman this morning. Hopefully, I'll be able to go back to the remaining part of the message. Mark chapter 5, look at verse 22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came by name. All right, next verse. Next verse, 25, I think. All right. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. A certain woman. Her name was not even mentioned. But God knows everybody. And it's not about your status or your gender. It is about how you can give attention to what you are hearing. She has suffered many things from many physicians. She has spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for bank. Thank God for being able to get loans. Thank God for being able to get medical attention. But do you know that all of them have their limits? Do you know? Do you know that there's limits in medical intervention? It can get to a point where doctors will look at you and say, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. I'm sorry. I am sorry. And when they are saying sorry, they move to the next person to see if they can help the next person. Don't blame doctor. Ah, that doctor is not, he's not compassionate. Do you know how many cases he has seen that day? And one of the things you learn to do as a medical person is not to allow your emotions to get involved. You don't get emotionally attached. That's why they will tell doctors and us, don't treat your own relatives. Because your emotions will get involved. So it's not as if they don't have emotions. They have emotions. But their emotions can't be all over the place. Where they will say, or the doctor will start crying with you. If the doctor starts to cry with you, won't you think otherwise? There's limits. And that woman had gone through all of that. And there's something about sickness and situation. They don't get better. Hello. Situations just don't get better by themselves. Things just don't change by themselves. Is it that things are going to change by the mercy of God, sheer mercy of God, or you are going to do something specific yourself? And that's where your faith comes in. Rather grew worse. Sickness grow towards death. Malaria can kill. Malaria can kill. As small as you think it is. Is it not just mosquito bites? If it's left untreated, I've seen cases of when the parasite will get to the brain. They call it cerebral malaria. And drugs to reach that place become so difficult. Said she rather grew worse. But thank God. You know one of the reasons why you have to develop your faith? Hello. Are you listening this morning? You know, when you have some chronic cases, chronic issues that will not just quickly take your life or make you go bankrupt or make you lose marriage, you think to feel that, I have time. I can manage. But there are some acute issues that will come into our lives that if nothing is done, you're finished. So you can't wait till those issues will come up before you develop your faith. Somebody say, if you wait for the rain to fall, it's too late for you to build your ark. Are you listening? It will be too late to build your ark. Rain is already falling. So that's why you have to actively watch your life. Actively give attention. You heard right when they say there's no day it doesn't listen to messages on the name of Jesus. There's no day it doesn't listen to messages on faith. Because faith comes by hearing. By hearing and giving attention to what you are hearing. Next verse. It says, but when she heard. Everybody say, she heard. When she heard about Jesus. Back to hearing now. Back to giving attention to what you are hearing. She heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. You know, when you translate from one language to another, most times you can't capture the essence or the full meaning of that you are trying to translate. There are certain things that you, when you read them in the Word of God, you think it's just happened once. Like when you read Luke 6:48, give and it shall be given to you. But actually in Greek, it says practice giving. Be giving. When you hear about this woman now, she heard about Jesus. Probably she heard about 2, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. This one will come and say, ah, I heard about Jesus healing. Oh, this one will come and say, oh, I heard. Oh, this another. She heard. Then she decided to do something about what she heard. She had given attention to what she heard. She had considered. I'm sure she will have come to the point of, what else do I need to lose? Anyway, doctor said, there's nothing they can do. I'm growing worse. I've lost money because of this situation. But I'm hearing something about Jesus. And what she was hearing was something positive. What she was hearing was, there's nothing too hard for this Jesus. She heard about Jesus raising the dead of a widow. She heard about Jesus eating, healing multitudes of people with all kinds and manner of sickness and disease. She heard that. And Bible says she decided, she had given attention to that. There was no word for her to read, but she meditated. She thought about what she heard. She considered what about what she heard. Again and again. And Bible says she acted. We are seeing her acting, but beneath or under those actions will have been considerations, meditations, giving attention. Let me tap your labor. Don't sleep on me. Don't sleep on me. Don't sleep on me. Hallelujah. I said, tap your neighbor. I'm asking you to do something. Don't sleep now. Or otherwise, I'll tell them to put up the AC. Say, she came. You will not be able to act on God's word until you have considered, until you have taken time. When you take steps based on what you have considered, you get it. When you have somebody say, I'm sick. Should I go to the hospital or should I not go? Something is amiss. It's not for somebody to tell you to go to the hospital or not to go. Should I take this loan or not take that loan? No. Should I embark on this one? What is the word of God that you are standing on? How much of that have you deposited into your heart? Bible says, out of the abundance of the earth. Heart of the abundance. You will know what to do. I told you, I say, I will not. And that's what some of us, we think faith is. That's not faith. I will not be sick. I will not be sick. I will not be sick. That's not faith. Hello. That's not faith. In Jesus' name, that's not my portion. That's not my portion. No. What's your portion? What is your portion? That you are thinking about, that you are meditating on, that you are taking and you are acting on, that's the issue. So those times that you say, I will not have malaria, I will not have. I started getting into the God's word and hearing God's word, and I didn't have to be saying, I will not have malaria, I will not have malaria. It does not just come. Why? There's abundance. The word is growing and it's bringing forth fruits. That's what we don't hear all over the places. But that's how to enjoy the blessing of the word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There was a time, Professor Kendi told, I don't know, I can't remember what prof preached. We were at Yanomotuari. Professor Kendi preached a message about our finances, about acting. But I remember that I got home that day, or during the week, I looked at what he preached, and I sat down. I said, I want to act on this word. I want to be able to have a hold on my finances. And I sat down under the inspiration of God. I was able to say, okay, this is what goes for tithe. This is what goes for offering. This is what goes for welfare. This is what I save. And you know, my finance has never been the same since that time. This is over 10 years. This is over 10 years. I sat down, and I think about 2 or 3 years ago, I reviewed. I sat down. And I looked at it again. I meditated, and I said, okay, this one has to go up. This one has. I have to add to this. I have to add to that. And I've seen God in my finances. What is it? What is that area? You know, we talk about nothing is impossible for God. But do you know Jesus Christ said, to him that believes. Have you ever thought about that? Anytime I have to think it, my head gets hot, but my heart is blessed. That nothing, if I have faith, nothing will be impossible to me. To me, if I believe, nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. So that woman went and acted on what she had decided. What came to her out of what she had heard. That's what she acted on. It was not accidental. Bible says she went behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Because she had said to herself again and again, I'm going to find Jesus. And when I find him, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And I know I will be whole. And I know she had believed that. She had come to believe that. And she just acted out what she believed. How do I know that? Look at next verse. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now, look at the can you imagine this scenario? And Jesus, among multitudes of people. Let's even say the multitudes were just this. Can you imagine all of you around me? Everybody here. We are in our hundreds here. Can you imagine all of you around me? That's what happened. And Jesus, Bible says, Jesus knew immediately that power had gone out of him. That something, somebody lay hold of something. Somebody touched me. And he looked in the crowd. Who touched me? Listen and listen very carefully. He said, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? And the disciple, next verse. The disciple said, Jesus. Don't be ridiculous. How can you be saying, everybody is trying to touch you now? Everybody, what will you say? You say, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? That's a ridiculous question. How can you say, this and that? Everybody goes to church. Like I was in a place last week. My daughter and I she had to apply for an internship. And by the point of doing the final submission of the form, the guy there looked at her and said, who do you know? And my daughter said, I know God. And you know his answer? Everybody knows God. I was tired. If not that I was tired, I would have talked. I said, because what came to my mind, that's a foolish assumption. That everybody knows God. That's a foolish assumption. That everybody knows God. And that's the same way. Everybody goes to Rock Foundation Church. She's a member of Rock Foundation Church. Say, you see the multitude struggling you and say, you touched me. Don't be ridiculous. Don't be stupid. Everybody is trying to touch you. No. Look at the next verse. And he looked around to see her who had done this. Out of the crowd. Out of the multitudes. You know what that tells me? Multitudes can come to church. Multitudes can attend meetings. Multitudes can attend events. But how many people really get results? How many people really go there to have an encounter? And those who do will always have results. How many of us will get back home after service? On Monday, on Tuesday, or on Wednesday, or on Thursday, and say, this word that I heard last week, let me give it attention. Let me look at it. There are just few people who do that. And Bible refers to such people as noble people, excellent people. In Acts chapter 17, look at verse 11. Acts 17, look at verse 11. I'm challenging you this morning. That status quo has to change. If you want to walk with the Lord and enjoy Jesus, it has to change. You can't keep coming in every week, going and coming and not doing anything about what you read. He said, these were more fear-minded. Fear-minded, excellent, exceptional, noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. And what did they do? Search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. It is in the place of searching and looking. That's when you get the confirmation, the conviction in your heart that you come to know that you know that you know. Nobody can impart that to you. Nobody can pray that for you. I said, maybe you're a baby Christian. You just got to know the Lord. Like for instance, I'll give you an example. Shortly after I got saved, I go to fellowship and hear about healing, about commanding, about refusing. I had a small growth in my body at that time. And I was seeing it every day. Young Christian, maybe I was about 16 or 17 plus then. And I looked at what I heard. I considered it and I started speaking to that thing. Maybe some weeks after, I looked for it. It was gone. In fact, I was in the bathroom that day. I was shocked or pleasantly surprised. Well, everything together. I was so excited. Some things will quickly happen, especially if you're a baby Christian. You just got born again. You are just learning. Somebody will just pray for you. Somebody will just agree with you. A time will come. Prayer of agreement will not work. I'm not cursing. Because you have to ascend. Everybody say ascend. Become more noble-minded. To sit down. You know, my husband used to give this illustration that when he was small, his father would chew meat. Some of us, we don't do it now. We have blenders. We have meat mincers and all of that. But what do? You chew your meat and spit it out and give it to that small girl. And that girl will be happy. She will eat it. But can you imagine having to chew meat for a 10-year-old? I know the children of today, they will not even take it from you. They say, Mommy, you have mixed your saliva with it. You are trying to help, but that child has come to know that I can chew myself. I can enjoy the nutrients. I don't have to have handed over protein from my mother or from my father. And that's what happens when you can sit down and search and have a time of comparing. God said this. This is what I'm experiencing. But God's word is true. What do I do? In the time of meditation and thinking and muttering, light comes. More understanding comes. And then you will know what to do. We want ministers of God to do everything for us. But no minister of God has been endowed. I don't care who the minister is. I've been in this thing for almost 40 years. So I'm not a baby. Hello, sir. If somebody has to practice medicine for 40 years, he will become what? Oga. Oga at the top. I'm not claiming any Oga at the top. But I know some things. No minister of God is empowered to do everything for you. That person will be taking the place of God. That person will be taking and injuring your growth. Injuring your growth. I close with this. Look at Psalm. Psalm 119, verse 99. When you begin to go through the scriptures yourself, when you begin to give attention, certain things will happen to you beyond your imagination. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? It says, for your testimonies are my meditation. They are what I think about, what I'm looking at, what I'm considering. So I have more understanding. Whatever you hear anybody preach, more understanding can come when you sit down yourself and consider it under the influence of the Holy Ghost with an attitude of, I want to know more. I want to have better. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. For my testimonies are your testimonies are my meditation. Look at the next verse. I understand more than the ancients. The ancients, that means the aged. Those ones who are older than me. Because I keep your precepts. I watch over your word. I have made it personal. Praise God. I challenge you this morning. Let's move higher. Hello. Move higher. Move higher. Move higher. Move higher. Let me tell your neighbor, move higher. Give attention to God's word. It doesn't have to be 10 hours. You are not a pastor. I understand. You have to, you know, go to work. But as your, I know we are Nigerians. We don't work by the hour. True or false? Except for some few people who work maybe for private institutions or international institutions. But majority of us, we have time, even in our places of work. True or false? You have phone, you have your phone, you have your Bible. Why not open and just think, to consider, to look, and give attention? I'm not talking about doing 1 year Bible now. I'm talking about giving attention to specific things. If you have a reference Bible, to look at it and just gather. I'm doing a search now on heaven. You know, everybody's talking about, everyone at last. I want to hear, I want to know what New Testament is saying about going to heaven. So I took my Bible, I typed heaven. So many scriptures came out, and I started to pick them one by one and to think, does this one relate? What heaven is it talking about? And all of that. You may not, but at your level, faith, what does it mean? What does it mean? Then some of us, we listen more. Then listen. Get that message and play it again and again. And listen intently. Listen as if your life depends on it. You know, Pastor used to give illustration. When you are in your house, Sunday afternoon, and you are reading a book, How to Get Lost in Lagos. I mean, how to find your way in Lagos in case you get lost. How will you read it? But can you compare getting lost in Lagos? Like I traveled yesterday. On the card, I saw Ijebuode. And I didn't look very well. There was Ijebuode. There was Ijebu Northeast. I just assumed that what I was going for was Ijebuode. Can you imagine? I left Abeokuta. I had gotten to Elysium. But thank God, I just felt my spirit. Check that invitation again. And I looked. It was not Ijebu Ode. It's after Ijebubo. And I was at Ilishan. I had to. The attention I gave to finding direction was not the same attention that I gave to that invitation card. Is somebody getting something that I'm saying? If I had given that same attention that I gave when I got lost, if I had given that same attention, I mean, I got that invitation how many weeks back? Maybe about 3-4 weeks back. I just assumed that I knew it was Ijebu Ode. And I told the driver, we're going to Ijebu Ode. If I'd given that same attention, and I close with this, in Hebrews, let me look for the verse. In Hebrews, I think Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 11. Though that's not exactly what I'm looking for. But it says, let us therefore be diligent. That's not exactly. Let me look for it. Give me a second. Where it says, is it chapter 3? I know I'm live, but relax. I'm looking for that scripture, and I know you need it. Where I say we must all diligently give the same attention to what. All right, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 1. It said, therefore, we, the writer of that book, included himself, must give the more earnest heed or attention to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. When you don't give careful attention, you miss it. He says, for if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a job, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders. What do you need to do? Is to give attention. Attention. That's why, for me, one of the things I do to give attention, I write out scriptures. And I put it where I will see it. You know, it was one of the things Reverend Bade said that day. My husband looked at me. That's what I've been doing over the years. In fact, I've graduated now. I have a black marker, permanent marker. And on my wall, I write in my bedroom. It's my bedroom. No, it's not your own. Permanent marker. If you are living in a rented house, don't do that. If you are still a tenant, don't do that. Except you know that you can erase it. But I put it there. I write out things. And I'm looking at them. I write on paper. I paste. There's no day I don't enter bedroom. Whether for major or for minor, I must enter. And I'm seeing those words. And I'm making contact. And it's coming back to my heart. I'm giving attention to it. Praise God. Let me tell your neighbor, God is faithful. And he's faithful to his word that you give attention to. So let's make it a practice. Whether it's on Sunday evening, you want to do it on Monday or whatever, give attention. It may be 5 minutes, it may be 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, as the Lord will permit you. Just look at it again. again and again, again and again and again. You know, that's part of watering the seed. Apart from the fact that you get to know what to do, you are watering that seed. You water that seed. You water that seed. And seed cannot but bring forth fruits. Seed, a good seed in a good heart, what will it do? Will bring forth good fruits. And that shall be our testimonies in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and just bless the Lord this morning. 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 Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him glory. Father, we bless you because we know you have come hard on us this morning for our own benefits. Afterwards, we will give attention. Diligent attention to your word. And we will see you. Tell yourself, I will give you diligent attention and I will see this word. I will see the word come to pass in my life. My faith will be built up and nothing will be impossible to me. In the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. For in Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's package our offering this morning.